Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
The attitude remains here. We take them one at a time. So if I'm going to lean into the positivity of the game before, I got to lean into the negativity of yesterday. You got Fromber on the mound. He looks nothing like the guy you saw the previous three outings. Specifically the outing before where he goes and has a complete game. Only throws 59 pitches. He's removed from the game mostly because of ineffectiveness. It had nothing to do with health. Espada and Fromber both say he's fine physically. He just did not pitch well. It leads to an Astros loss, so they dropped the series to the Giants. And the bane of my existence, Wisely gets another couple hits, scores a run, put the damn batting gloves on, man. But if you're going to hit like you have against the Astros without him, I guess I can't fault you too much. And, You might have considered Fromber in line for a rough outing from the very beginning. I mean, gave up a deep fly ball to center. The Giants elevated a couple balls. Look, they weren't going out of the ballpark, but maybe it was a sign of things to come. And, Yordan hit a couple balls really hard, one for a home run, one for a double. That's the positivity there. Alex Bregman continues to hit the baseball. We said if he gets over 240, we can start having a real conversation about the cream rising. The 14-game hitting streak will let me attest to the cream has started to rise. It hasn't led to team success. Alex Bregman said after the game that the month of June is a huge month for the Astros. Well, the road trip was a 3-3 road trip, so not exactly a great start to the month, but they need it. If there's any hope of rescuing what appears to be at least at this point in lost season, the month of June needs to be one where they start to turn around, have plenty of time to go, and, you know, with us, it's one game at a time, so we'll see what happens in their next one. But I can't ignore yesterday. It's just they were down 5-1, and, you know, they put a couple up, but you felt like the game was over. There was no real juice. There was no real belief that this game was turning around. And it was, I guess, when you think about the Verlander start and the Fromber start, those are the two starts in this recent run where the starting pitching hasn't been great. And they look like they're going to overcome it in Verlander's start, and then Presley blew up, and then Hader. And then this one, I can't blame anyone but Fromber for this. It just is one where the Giants were patient and they got balls up and it cost them. So they go down 5-3 the final there. And what can you say? It was not a great way to start the afternoon, particularly if you wanted that to lead to a nap, because I'm at a point where when the Astros play in the early afternoon, the naps come later. It's a 2:45 start, so once that game's over, I'm taking a nap, and it's going to actually affect my sleep pattern for the rest of the day. But you know what? I got to get my nap in, and I might as well do it if I got to watch Luka be Luka, because we'll get into that. What a bleep show. It was a great start to the quarter for him and the Mavericks, and then as soon as you saw that the Celtics were down by one at the end of one, okay, this is it. The Mavericks couldn't hold them off for even 5 minutes of game time in the first. You knew, okay, this one's going to be a rough one. And the Celtics did what they had to do to take game three. But there are a lot of things to get to, including one Brian Windhorst. What Brian Windhorst said hits more because it's Brian Windhorst. Like, Stephen A. Smith puts on a voice when you know he's trying to be earnest or make a point. But Windhorst, he doesn't really jump into the the take stuff. He has a podcast. Maybe he does it there. But as far as his TV appearances, he's never a guy who's that I wouldn't even call this hot take because everyone agrees with it. But he's never a take guy, really. He reports what he knows or what he thinks he knows. You know, he's famous for the meme where he kind of predicted how things were working out in that one off season with Donovan Mitchell. Or was it the Kevin Durant trade?
It was the Rudy Gobert
trade. Why would he do that? Yeah, he's famous for that, but that's because he had kind of had inside information. And he was just holding off on it. He never attacks a player like he did Luka, but Luka deserved it. Come on, man. The number of times where he was costing his team possessions simply by not running back are many. I mean, we talked about blow-by stats. We'll get to some of those later in the show. I have the numbers for Luka and the percentages of how many times he's been blown by in these series. Hint, not great for Luka. The numbers aren't great for Luka. But the NBA Finals are now over. There's likely one more game. Maybe the Mavericks find a way to respond. But at the end of the day, we know the Celtics are winning their second championship with HD. And really the first championship with full HD. Certainly the first championship with 4K televisions. When those weren't egregiously expensive, even if they existed back in 2008. So the Celtics will win their title. And that never-ending feud between them and the Lakers about how many titles are real when some of them happen in Minnesota. And then does it really count if you won them in Minnesota when you're really the LA Lakers? All that stupid stuff that the Celtics and the Lakers fans go back and forth with that no one cares about. The point remains, Shea Serrano brought this up, and I think he's right. The Celtics only get the titles. Those only count the ones that happened in the 80s, 08, and 24. No one gives a damn about the ones that Bob Cousy won. Only Mad Dog does, and no one cares what Mad Dog has to say that much anymore anyway. So the Celtics are on the verge of doing the thing, finally coming through after a number of conference finals runs and that finals run a couple years ago, but they're going to want a title. It couldn't happen to a worse fan base, to be honest with you. I don't want to see happy Paul, to be honest, because I don't know that Paul, at least sports fandom Paul, because the Patriots haven't been good for a while, and the Celtics have always disappointed at the end of the run. But we're gonna get happy Paul. How many Celtics like things will he be wearing? He's got the two jerseys, we know.
He's got the two jerseys. He has the little shamrock. They're not Mardi Gras beads, but they're basically Mardi Gras beads with the shamrock on the bottom because they're from St. Patrick's Day.
Sure. Does he wear Celtic shirts?
Get a leprechaun hat? What?
Does he wear Celtic shirts or coat jackets? I mean, there's no need to wear one in the summer, but
there's a T-shirt that he's got. There might be a cap involved at some point.
Hate happy Boston
maybe
fans.
Maybe in a couple weeks the championship cap. I don't know if he's the championship cap kind of guy.
First one, he's in his mid-30s, so the first one since he was maybe in college, first Celtics title. It might be time to spring for a championship hat. It might be about that time.
I don't want to tell him how to live his
life. I'm not going to tell him how to spend his money.
Yeah,
his highway cantina money. I'm not going to tell him how to spend it, but if he so chooses, it might be that time.
He's probably spending it at Highway Cantina, actually.
As opposed to a hat. Just buying margaritas there. So that happened last night. Like I said, we'll get into really the ins and outs of it. But all you need to know is Windhorse ripped Luka, and the Celtics are winning a title. Some things we are going to get to. Can a college coach be sent straight to jail for a prank he pulls on his players? Sean and I may have differing opinions, but I doubt it. We'll get into what happened in Tempe with the Sun Devils and their coach, Kenny Dillingham, an egregious thing he did. CJ Stroud's mentioned in the MVP conversation. We can talk about that. Also, this has been a running theme for me, particularly this week. And we had the article that we kind of went through from Jason Braddock of Sporting News about, are the Texans talking too much? Well, a division rival may think so. We'll hear from a Colts linebacker on CJ Stroud and his willingness to say whatever he wants, whenever he wants, a little bit later too. So we got plenty to get to. We'll hear from Joe Espada when we come back. He discussed Fromber's performance and why he pulled him at the time he did. So a disappointing end to the series in San Francisco, thought you had a chance to take that final one with Framber on the mound, had all the confidence in the world considering how he pitched in his last out and just did not get that Framber. And the ERA is near 4, certainly not good, not for a guy who at points is a clear number one. Now, to be honest, the number one, despite him not having that actual stature, is Ronel Blanco. He's your number one if you're going to get these up and down performances from Verlander and Framber. And sticking with the Astros pitchers, the conversation about who's responsible for what is going on with this team, how much of it falls on Joe Espada, how much of it falls on the players. Well, Lance McCullers, who apparently he and Will Kunkel have a thing where they talk a lot. Maybe it's from the same interview. Who knows? But Will Kunkel put this out there. We'll hear from Lance McCullers about the responsibility that belongs to the players and what belongs to the manager. We'll talk about that and more when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Stuff was good. It was staying up in the zone a bit. Anytime you see opponents hitting the ball in the air with ease, you kind of know that he's not missing down in the zone. So just not his best day.
Is that why you pulled him after 59? Just.
Yeah, I thought at the time, just to give us a chance to win, Seth would have been good with that righty pocket there, since I didn't think that Framber was, super sharp today.
So if we're taking any good things away from that outing, it wasn't being pulled because of injury, simply ineffectiveness. So Framber will be ready to go in his next turn in the rotation, but just a disappointing outing for him. Just really considering what he had done beforehand. I won't say he didn't give his team a chance to win. It was only a 5-1 deficit, but we know this Astros team, and coming back isn't really their forte. If it always feels like at this point, at least this year, when they get down early, there's very little room for error, and it played out that way yesterday with the 5-3 final. We'll get into what Lance McCullers said in a little bit, because he, after being asked by Will Kunkel about managers and their responsibility, or does a lot of it fall on the players, who's responsible for the poor start to the season? He had thoughts. We'll get into them. And he throws in a little caveat, which is funny, because he is self-aware. I will give him credit for that. He is self-aware. You'll hear it in the middle of the sound. But first, I think this is his first call, at least to this show, since he's been released on parole. And speaking of that, he wants to talk about a crime show. Julian wants to talk about presumed innocence. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys. Don't call it a comeback.
Don't worry, we won't.
I'm watching Presumed Innocence. It's a new series on Apple TV. Have you dabbled in that yet?
I've seen the first episode. There was a 2-episode premiere. I've seen episode 1. I'll get to episode 2 at some point, maybe over the weekend.
So I've only seen the first episode. I guess yesterday was the second episode, and I know we have the 48-hour rule. So I called it. Like, immediately you knew romantically involved. Like, no doubt about it. But the way that she was tied up, man, like, that was wild. I just think it's going to be a good series, and I'll be calling every week about it. And I'm not going to say it, even though I want to say it.
Well, maybe.
No, I'm a changed man. I just want you to know that.
Okay. We'll see.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
He said something corny anyway, but at least it wasn't what you always say. He's a changed man. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe you want to be put back in the joint. You just watch yourself going forward.
Are you saying he might have been institutionalized?
Yeah. He's been in twice in about a month.
Yeah, the system, we do our best, but we're not really about rehabilitation. Yeah. We're about just keeping you off the street.
Maybe he's really into 3 hots and a cot. Maybe that's what he's about.
He got used to life.
Yeah. Hey, regimented. He knows where he's going to be at all times. Doesn't have to really think very much. Maybe he's into that sort of thing. Got a nice library. You never know. He's got time to watch television shows. Who knows what he thinks about being in the joint. Yes, Presumed Innocent. I wasn't aware of this, but it's based off a book, and I think there was already a TV show made of it. Jake Gyllenhaal is the star. Yeah, at least the first episode was a little dark considering the scene, the crime scene. It was rough. But I'm in. I'll watch episode two, like I said. I'm glad I've been able to avoid, I guess, the spoilers surrounding it, because I did not know that it had already been made before. But what Jillian said in the trailer, you know, the woman that's been murdered had a relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal's character beforehand. In fact, it plays a big part in episode one because if you thought it was a secret from his wife, no, she knew about it already. And before the show premiered, apparently the backstory is they had a conversation about this and it almost broke up the marriage, as you might imagine. So that's out there. You can watch it. And obviously House of the Dragon, it begins. And The Boys begin today. I think it's a 3-episode premiere of The Boys. We'll talk to Michael Carroll tomorrow. We'll see how interesting how that works out, considering I'll be out at East River 9. And if he can, he'll be here in studio with Sean as well. So we'll talk about maybe a couple episodes of The Boys, if he's seen it, and other things as House of the Dragon is back starting Sunday night on Max. I mentioned Lance McCullers speaking. We'll get to him. But the quote from Alex Bregman, who said this is a huge month for the Astros. Here's his quote, courtesy of Brian McTaggart from the Astros official site. I think this is a huge month for us. We've got to get to playing some good baseball. I believe in these guys in here. Every single guy in here is busting their tail every single day. Obviously, we need to be better than we've been, and everyone in here knows that and is working towards that. I guess it might be time to say it's getting late early. We're getting to mid-June, and while we can always remember big comebacks in baseball, and because of the length of the season, they're now 8.5 games back. The Mariners had the benefit of playing the White Sox, while you dropped 2 out of 3 to the Giants. So all the positivity that you thought you might be coming after you won the first two in Anaheim, now you've lost 3 out of 4. And that's kind of why I've been pushing back and on this talk of it could be just around the corner, and now I'm taking it one game at a time. You're a bad baseball team until proven otherwise. Why? Stop assuming that this team is just going to rip off a run. You beat the Angels twice in a row. You feel good. And then Verlander's not great. Your bullpen blows that one late. And now you've lost 3 out of 4. It's kind of the story of the season. But here's Lance McCullers, who has played no part of the season. But he's still active, talking to people, particularly Will Kunkel. And he answers, or maybe doesn't answer, the question about who do you place responsibility on for what's going on? The actual players on the field or the manager who's putting them in positions? Here's Lance McCullers.
The manager, especially in today's game, I think the most important thing they do is the relationship they have with the players. Yeah. The open, the non-hierarchy style that we've really never had it here. But that has been a problem other places, whereas like the manager may see himself above the players, or the relationship is not there, the openness is not there. So I mean, Joe does a great job with that. I mean, Joe's been here since 2018, I believe. 2018, and you know, he's been the bench coach under AJ, and AJ did a really good job with that. He's been the bench coach under Dusty. Dusty was great at that, walking around the clubhouse, you know, checking in with guys. So, I think Joe is doing what Joe's supposed to do. I think I think us as players, I mean, I'm not playing, but you know, I'm not trying to speak for them. But as players, we just gotta start, you know, playing a little better as a unit. We'll 7 games in a row, the bullpen will pitch great, the starters will do great, the offense on fire. But I think we've seen it kind of gel and just, you know, start putting it together.
You heard him as players, then he said, I'm not playing, I don't want to speak for them. Lance is aware of your comments that are coming. And as you might imagine, people commenting on the post or tearing into Lance McCullers for not being available, which It's just par for the course when you make yourself available to the media as much as Lance has for multiple reasons. He's in the charities, and he's also got a brand he's pushing. He's going to speak. I mean, we haven't heard from Luis Garcia once. I mean, there are reasons for that, but no one knows what Luis Garcia is thinking. And Luis Garcia, you're taking the right approach. I think he'd get more grace than other than Lance McCullers, but Luis Garcia is like, hey, I don't even want you to know I exist until I'm back out there pitching. I don't think that's in Lance's bag to stay silent. It might help the responses on social media, but like I said, he's got a brand he's pushing, particularly a coffee brand. So Lance is going to be out there, and whether he's reading it himself, we know he's hearing it because he mentioned it previous that why are people mad at me? I didn't want to be injured, but I am. But it was just another. I don't know, 14 hours of people going, Why are you? Hey, stop talking and start pitching. Stuff along those lines. As Lance McCullers speaks, he's going to get a response. And I think, I don't even fault him. I just know that this is what comes with the territory when you're unavailable.
Yeah, there's... It's pretty easy not to just... Not to have a sit down with Will Kunkel
every
month.
It is
every month.
Easy to avoid that, yeah.
But at a certain point, there is like a thing of where you don't want to be too, you don't want to disappear too much from the public consciousness of the team. But at the same time, you don't have to do it in front of the media. You can just be in the bullpen or in the dugout. Cheering on the guys. You don't have to go full Justin Verlander and not be with the team at all while you're recovering.
Yeah, you could wear Astros team issued stuff just and sit in the dugout.
Maybe get a picture with Julian Morales every once in a while.
Yeah, sign some autographs, cheer on the guys.
Invent some home run celebrations. That always plays.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time on your hands.
Okay.
He does. He can figure out a home run celebration with someone. Maybe he and Abreu can come up with something. They can really lean
Tucker,
in. They can
so
really
can get some mileage out of it.
Well, Tucker, by the way, the news is Tucker. Don't expect Tucker back tomorrow. There was a thought that he might be back tomorrow. That is now not so much of a thought. So you might be looking into next week before Kyle Tucker's back in the lineup. Well, I think if you're going to lean into the villain nature of how people are treating you. And you should be side by side, sitting next to Jose Abreu at all times.
No one cared who I was until I put on the mask, is what you're saying.
Yeah, just sit next to Jose Abreu, and maybe you two can, since there's such a level of, I don't know if hate's the right word, but disappointment and annoyance by the both of you, or directed at both of you, maybe you guys can shield each other from it. Just sit next to each other. And, you know, Abreu, hey, Lance, they yell at me too. Then Abreu can say, and Lance can say the same. Hey, I know how you're feeling, Jose. They can bond over an entire city turning on them for different reasons.
But if the whole point is to, hey, guys, stop being mad at me. I'm not trying to be
maybe
hurt.
Maybe not sit next to Jose Abreu.
Not put yourself in positions where people are going to be mad at you. Maybe just hang out with Jake Myers. I don't know.
I think it'd be really funny if we find out that Abreu and McCullers are the best of friends. They bonded over their struggles.
So much.
And you know, guys,
they have a group text.
They have things in common. Guys getting a lot of money. Well, at least one is available to play. We just wish he wasn't, and the other isn't available, and we kind of wish he was. But they can bond.
Yeah, we find out, you know, maybe a Julia Morales report, or maybe in an interview with Will Kunkel, he says it himself that, you know, me, Jose Abreu, Martin Maldonado and Dusty Baker all have a group chat that's still active, you know?
And Maldi is in it?
We still talk all the time.
Carlos Gomez chimes in every once in a while, too.
Yeah. Garrett Cole
will
come in there, too.
Yeah. The problem for Garrett wouldn't he really fit. We wanted him to stay, just the money wasn't going to be there. Garrett Cole's like, why did you guys add me to this? I'm leaving. Cole has left the chat. I don't belong here. But, Lance McCullers with Will Kunkel, that particular clip. And Will Kunkel's like, hey, you guys are going to love to hear this. Like, have you met Astro fans? Well, they're not going to love to hear this. They don't want to hear anything from Lance McCullers. I think you guys are going to like, if you haven't heard it, what Brian Windhorst has to say. He's talking about a Dallas guy. I know because of the Luka James stuff, like, why does James get so much slander? People were doing that when he was still here, when Luke was a young player. They play the same way. They have some of the same issues. Why is Luka looked at as a treasured piece of the NBA and James can be looked at as a choker and a loser? Well, now Luka's catching some of it too. All it takes is time. Luka was a young player. Everyone will make an excuse because, hey, he's young. He'll figure it out. And by the way, this is all coming because all of the spotlight is on him because he's in the finals. But the numbers about his defense are out. And Brian Windhorst, which I would consider an unlikely source for this, took Luka to task. We'll hear from Brian Windhorst on Luka when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Celtics win last night. They're up 3-0. They're going to go win a title. Congratulations to them for getting it done. That core, and specifically the Tatum-Brown core, they've been through now three coaches, but those two have been building to this, and insult to the run, if you want, and I certainly have done it and probably will continue to do it, they're going to get themselves a title, and you can't say that they haven't been the best team all year. The regular season will tell you that, the numbers will tell you that, and this playoff run will certainly tell you that they did not slack when it came to taking advantage of teams who were lessened by injury. They went out and got the job done, and they're one win away, from winning a title. The team on the other side put up a valiant effort in the fourth quarter. Some of that kind of waned because Luka fouled out of the game. You can call it questionable if you want, but he also committed a couple dumb fouls earlier that led to him being in that precarious situation. So I would still say whether you think the refs screwed up, I think some of the blame still lands on Luka. And beyond the questionable decisions on committing fouls, there is the problem of his defense. It has been a concern throughout these three games. Because, in fact, if you want to go back all the way to round one, the Mavericks were pretty good defensively. And Luka wasn't great, but he wasn't the problem that he is now. And it is the plight of a superstar in the finals. People are going to hone in on your biggest issues, and his biggest issues is staying in front of people. His biggest issue is staying in front of people. And I say he was pretty good in the first round. The numbers would say not when it comes to getting blown by on straight line drives, because he was awful in the first round too. The numbers are out. Better against Minnesota than he was against the Clippers and the Thunder. But for this series against the Celtics, according to ESPN, I and Sean talked about this yesterday. We didn't know blow by stats were a thing. Now they are, specifically because how bad Luka is, we're making it a thing, and so is the rest of the NBA media. Highest blow by percentage allowed on drives in a series, minimum 10 drives per game the last 10 years. Luka has the number one for this series, number two for the Clippers series, and number three for the Thunder series. So he leads the world in blown by percentage, all happening in these playoffs. And there are multiple things you can talk about with Luka and his defense. Is he so tired because he's out of shape that he can't stay in front of people? Is it a lack of effort on his end? Is he simply never going to be a good defender? All those things are probably true. But the biggest issue for people and anyone who had hopes of the Mavericks winning this series is it doesn't appear that he cares. Whether he's trying to stay in front of someone or just when he takes his eyes off a cutter, or when he doesn't box out on a defensive rebound opportunity. How many times has a Celtic on a long shot, on a long rebound, run by Luka to go get the ball, and then he reacts late, and he waves his hand as if to defend the guys. The guy's going to lay it up and in. There's some things you can't help. Some guys aren't going to be good defenders. They're just not physically gifted enough to be that. But he's big We know what how he uses his body on the offensive end. You can be a good positional defender. You may not be athletically able to stay in front of guys like Tatum and Brown. Really, no one is. You find very few guys who can give them trouble. But to be so massively hunted and giving up the paint touches that eventually lead to three-point opportunities for your opponents, just manipulating you and manipulating your team defense, that's a problem. And then you throw in some of the foul grifting that led to him not getting back on defense. There's a couple of possessions in a row where he's got Al Horford on a switch and then another Celtic on a switch, and he simply knows he's going to miss, kicks his feet up in the air like he's been fouled, and complains, and it compromises the possession because the Celtics are off and running, and now your guys are out of position. So I have not been kind to Luke in the segment, but I'm nothing like Brian Windhorst. It was about a minute 30 or so. He was on with Scott Van Pelt after the game, and he went in on Luka in a way that Brian Windhorst rarely does when it comes to players. Here's Windhorst last night after the game.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with five fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, "You better bleeping challenge it," as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this what's happened in this finals as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
Brian Windhorst, I'll leave it right there. I appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll talk again this series. You think we get to a Game 5 Monday or no?
I'm very interested to see what Luka does on Friday. The 18th banner is coming to Boston. The duck boats are getting loaded up at some point. I want to see how Luka reacts because he owes his team a better performance in Game 4.
Brian Windhorst, thank you so much.
Windhorst with the smoke. Where did that come from? Is Windhorst such a basketball purist that Luka out there whining and rolling around the floor upset him so much that he had enough? What do you think that came from? Is he delivering a message from the Mavericks that, hey, Wendy, go out there and do us a solid? Where'd that energy come from?
It was obvious he was close to the court because he heard Luka like scream, "Go challenge that," with the last foul. So maybe just being that up close to it, he's like, "This is disgusting, what I'm watching right now."
A disgusting act by Luka Doncic. So,
or maybe he overheard what he was yelling at the refs. He was like, "Okay,
well, we heard him.
Enough is enough."
Well, we've heard him. We heard him in that clip talk about the Mavericks have begged and pleaded to Luka. So this is a thing the Mavericks have, at least someone has told Brian Windhorst. So he knows some of the ins and outs. And I'm not surprised. We had this conversation earlier. Like, Luka on the offensive end is fine. You know, he's doing it at his own pace, keeping a guy on his hip, making shots. He'll get out there on the perimeter. Sure, when he's making Rudy Gobert look foolish, it's cool because, hey, attack the Frenchman. Everyone's cool with that, right? Making Rudy Gobert look dumb. But the non-basketball stuff of his game, how can you like it? We understand. We sitting at home are going to yell at the referees because, I mean, what else are we going to do? That referee made a bad call. I know we don't have a real angle on it until we see a replay, but obviously we're right and they're wrong. I understand. That's fandom. But him, you want to complain? Okay. But every call? Have you ever committed a foul? He does raise his arm sometimes. I'll give him credit for that. But every time he doesn't make a shot, and we've talked about this, Sean, either he's grabbing at a portion of his body that hurts or someone hit him and it affected his shot. I think at some point after four rounds, you realize whatever foul grifting you got going in the playoffs, I mean the regular season, isn't going to happen here. And it's going to get even tougher to get those calls in the finals. At some point, you got to adjust. And when you are laying on the floor and crying about foul calls and it directly affects your defense on the other end. By the way, the Mavericks, like, gave up 106 points. That's not bad for them, but you only scored 99, and Luka, by the way, part of the problem. So, a couple ways. So, when your defense is, you know, holding the Celtics 106 in a finals game, and we can directly point to occasions where good shots were given up or layups were given up because of you, that's going to be something that people point at and say, you're part of the reason why we lost. And by the way, he started the game 5-7, finished 11-27 from the field. So even his offense couldn't even make up for how bad he was on the other end. What does he go? 6-20 the rest of the way, goes 1-7 from three. He was bad. Kyrie found his way to be better than Boobie Gibson. Shout out to Kyrie. Thank you for that. The Boobie Gibson slander from this show, I guess, can end at least for a game.
It rests.
We'll see what happens in game four.
Yeah. But throws up another stinker, might come back.
Yeah, if you don't know, the stats going into game three were Boobie Gibson in the 07 finals was a better player than Kyrie had been through the first two. So LeBron had a better teammate. All the talk about LeBron, I wish I could still play with Kyrie. Well, Boobie Gibson was better
for
the first two games.
You already played with Kyrie. You also already played with a better version.
Well, for two games, I mean, we talked
about... In the finals. Oh, sorry. Only on the game's biggest stage.
Well... He does also have a couple 40-pointers, and then...
Wouldn't Kyrie ever come through on the biggest stage with LeBron?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that ever happen?
Remember that question from ESPN? Is Game 3 Kyrie's biggest game ever? No, Game 7 of that finals that they won.
Oh, yeah. We can revisit that now that the game's been played.
It remains Game 7.
Okay, it's still Game 7.
I don't care how many points he scored.
Yeah.
The Game 7 against the 73-9 Warriors, still the biggest game of his career, Game 3 last night. Okay. Revisit it, and the answer remains the same.
Biggest game of Tim Hardaway Jr.'s life?
At least the biggest, like, 4 minutes in the fourth quarter when he had to replace Luka. Boy, yeah. does he stink.
There was an ISO.
Did you see the stat?
He hasn't scored in,
he hasn't made a shot since May 18th. May 18th!
He played 20 minutes last night.
He's giving me some real Tony Snell vibes with his numbers.
The name Trevor Ariza came up in group chats I was in because Tony Snell, at least he didn't shoot much.
Yeah, he wasn't expected to score. Like Tony Snell had a stat line where it was all 0-0-0. He didn't collect a stat. Tim Hardaway, very much same. He's getting shots up.
Yeah, there's some numbers in his. In the box score for him, they're all shot attempts.
Yeah, just not shots made or points scored. You got to give the Mavericks credit, I guess. They were down by 21 at the start of the fourth quarter after two straight threes by the Celtics, pushed it up, and they fought back. They were within a possession a couple times, had the ball with a chance to tie the game, and then were down by one at 1.2, but they just couldn't get over the hump. The Celtics find a way to close the deal, so they're up 3-0, and they will eventually tack on another title, whether it's in the game four or maybe game five. We'll see. Kyrie promised the game five to fans as they were berating him leaving the court after game two. We'll see if he breaks another promise to the Celtics fans. We'll see.
That does get forgotten about the specific Kyrie, because everyone had to apologize to him after game seven or no game five of the Minnesota series. Everyone's like, actually, were we mean to Kyrie Irving? It's like, nope, we weren't.
We were rewriting everything that had been said about him over the last 3 or 4 years because of his basketball performance. Yeah, like one ever questioned how good he was at basketball.
No one said he was bad.
Yeah, there was a question of whether he wanted to play, but no one ever thought, Kyrie, not great. Not a great basketball player. I never understood why him playing good basketball could rewrite all the things people had issues with before. Didn't make sense to me. And now game three was supposed to be the biggest of his career.
Yeah. But yeah, it with that all gets overshadowed with the fact that in 2019 he told before the season he told the season ticket holders for the Celtics, yeah, if you'll have me, I'd love to be back. And then by the All-Star game was openly talking with Kevin Durant about
getting out of there.
About leaving. So.
Yeah. So if he breaks this promise and they get swept, Celtic fans will forgive him. Well, they'll never forgive him, but they'll say, we don't care about this promise.
they don't care about this one.
We don't care about you breaking this promise. The other ones, we still hold you in contempt for those. We are way behind. We will get into EJ Speed. The linebacker for the Colts had thoughts on C.J. Stroud and all the talking being done. In fact, C.J. Stroud makes a list, another positive list. It's interesting considering what it is. We'll get into that as we move along. And also, Randall Cobb had some interesting things to say about how to make sure you have boys. It was like a cheat code in the video game, how he said you should, you know, do the thing that creates children. I'm not going to do that, but he did have, we're not going to talk about that. But he did have some things to say about Bill O'Brien, and so did Taylor Lewan. Somehow, Bill O'Brien got into it with Taylor Lewan when Taylor Lewan doesn't play for him, but he found a way to make it about him. And so we'll talk about that as well in hour two. One more segment to go in hour one. It'll be short, but we'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Since this will be a quick one, I'll just give you some news from the NFL. The Falcons have been fined and docked the draft pick because of their tampering with Kirk Cousins. It'll be a fifth-round pick in the 2025 draft and $250K. They violated the league's anti-tampering policy, so they cost themselves a pick and some money. I don't care about Arthur Blank's bank account. He'll be fine there. But the fifth-round pick, whatever. I mean, it's just really, hey, knock it off. It's not really something where it's going to mean very much to the Falcons. It's just letting them know that guys watch it. The Eagles do not get fined or have a draft pick docked for their alleged tampering with Saquon Barkley. So the Eagles, no issues. The Falcons do get hit with it because of improper contact with multiple players beyond Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, and Charlie Warner. It was during that negotiating period before the start of the league year, so they got hit for illegally contacting three guys. Okay, a fifth-round pick and some money. You know, the Falcons fans have bigger concerns. Like Kirk Cousins. A lot of people like the Falcons this year. Having competency at quarterback is enough, I guess. I think people expect finally Kyle Pitts to take off. I'm not a fantasy football guy, but the bane of a lot of people's existence has been Kyle Pitts not putting up numbers when he was supposed to be a generational prospect at tight end. People didn't consider that you got to have old-ass Matt Ryan and Desmond Ritter throwing him the football. That might help hurt the generational status of your pass catcher. And, of course, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. So they think there's enough skill there offensively with Kirk Cousins to at least win that division. Well, I mean, if I'm Baker Mayfield, hey, I'm still standing here. Remember me? I want to walk wild card round against the Eagles. That Eagles team that was falling apart. So Falcons get hit, they'll be fine, and the Eagles don't get hit.
It is funny that the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins illegally, or at least illegally tampered to sign him, and then drafted Michael Penix the first round anyway, and then got caught tampering had to get popped for a fifth round pick. So really,
it cost them two picks. This whole quarterback thing for them cost them money and a couple picks.
It would have been so much easier if you just didn't sign him.
Yeah.
It just would have been so much easier.
You would have went through an offseason without people crushing you for being stupid. You wouldn't have pissed off the quarterback you gave all that money to. You could have been like, you know what? We're going to run some backup if Michael Penix isn't ready. It doesn't matter. But, you know, the Falcons have duped themselves into thinking you had Kirk Cousins, you got a real shot to contend. Like, what's the best possible scenario for the Falcons? They win the division? That's plausible for them. And then what? Get their heads beat in by the Lions or the 49ers or the Eagles if their coaching moves change some things, and maybe even the Cowboys. You're gonna sign Kirk Cousins to be what, at best, the sixth best team in the NFC? Just draft a quarterback. We know where you top off when it's Kirk Cousins. We've seen it with the Vikings. I didn't get the move particularly when you obviously go ahead and draft the quarterback. I'm not even killing them for drafting the quarterback. But you draft a first rounder at that position because you think at some point he'll elevate you to a place where you're contending for real things. Kirk Cousins doesn't elevate you into contending for real things.
What besides his one career playoff win tells you that?
What can I possibly pull from when I make that statement?
Again, other than he's like 36 years old, coming off an Achilles.
Oh, and has yeah, one, by the way, that too.
Has one career playoff win.
Like the allegations, or maybe not allegations, but the people pointing at the Falcons for being less than bright about their offseason should not be pointing at drafting Michael Penix. It should be the whole banking on Kirk Cousins to do anything for you. Why?
Honestly, drafting Penix at 8 or 9 or whatever might be the smartest part of this whole...
Honestly,
it maybe... It might be the smartest thing of this whole charade.
Maybe some people don't think much of Michael Penix. I think Lance had him lower. Certainly didn't have him in the top 10. So,
hater.
Well, I've said that for years. So that's a matter of opinion about what you feel at the quarterback position. Is there a matter of opinion when it comes to Kirk Cousins and his level of possibility to succeed? No. No. We all know what that is. That's a wild card win, maybe.
But you said now he's going to have Drake London. Well, now he's going to have Bijan. When has Kirk Cousins ever had a great wide receiver?
Don't set me up for me to get up more upset when I have to talk about Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson and all the guys
Dalvin
he's had.
Cook.
Yeah. Yeah. When did he ever have talent around him?
When?
Got beat in a playoff game by Daniel Jones.
It's Stephon Diggs.
He did. And even the greatest moment, the recent moment in Vikings history, didn't involve Kirk Cousins.
No, it involved
Case Keenum.
It was a Houston Texan who threw that pass.
Throwing to Stephon Diggs. He got the line of demarcation should be, didn't you get beat at home by Daniel Jones in a playoff game? All right, no. Wasn't that you? We're not paying you anything. if you're letting that happen to you at home, Daniel Jones outplays you. You're out. You're out the door. We're not paying you. You want to be a journeyman for the Raiders? Go sign with the Raiders. But we actually have aspirations. You can't play for us. We've seen your act for years. But, hey, let's kill the Falcons for looking into their future. Okay. But all that being said, fifth-round pick and money, all for the joy and the privilege of getting on Kirk Cousins early. Like, who are they competing against for him, by the way? That's another thing. Who are they fighting that strongly for that they had to get in early on Kirk Cousins? I mean, if you want to outbid the Raiders, go ahead.
They had to rush to give him that 4-year, $180 million deal.
Yeah. Who are they fighting against? Who could they possibly have needed to talk to Kirk Cousins first before another team decided to convince him otherwise to sign with them? Who could they have been trying to beat out?
He might have just stayed with the Vikings then. And then... the Vikings wouldn't have drafted J.J. McCarthy.
And named Sam Darnold their training camp starter? That's the other thing that happened. The Vikings have decided after watching J.J. McCarthy this offseason that we're going to officially name Sam Darnold our starter for training camp.
I saw that from like one of the random like NFL rumors or whatever aggregation sites.
I thought it was fake.
And I honestly was like, is this trolling? I also don't care enough to investigate it.
Yeah.
Because naming your starter June 12th
for training camp of all things.
Who cares?
He'll get the snaps first in training camp, and then we'll see how it plays out. Okay. Just middling NFC teams doing things that don't make that much sense. We are done with hour one. We'll hear from EJ Speed on your quarterback. He's not middling at all. He is maybe the brightest as far as his star rising quarterback in the league right now, C.J. Stroud. A lot of talking being done. E.J. Speed of the Colts responds to it. He was with Kay Adams. We'll also hear from a former Texan about a former coach and general manager in the second hour of the show. Hour one done. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.